Hello, everyone. I'm so glad you're watching today. We are starting a new sermon series through the book of Acts, and it is entitled Re-Begin, Power and Principles to Change Your World. I believe that as soon as this coronavirus is over and the social distancing, that we will be re-beginning many various aspects of our lives. And the whole world is looking forward to doing so, re-beginning. As a church, we are looking forward to re-beginning. Our family is looking forward to re-beginning some traditions. Businesses are looking forward to re-begin some of their business activities. Sports to re-begin their seasons, and schools to re-begin their classes. All of those types of things. We as a church, we want to look at the book of Acts, and we want to understand and look at what God was doing in the book of Acts and how he launched his church. And when we re-begin as a church, we want to follow that model. We want to try to find out what God was doing and how he did it, and then learn from that and live by that. And so today we are starting off, we're looking at this kingdom of God idea. I want to ask you a couple questions, and I want you to be able to discuss these with your micro churches, your small groups, and even with your family. And then also you can engage. You can type in the comments. I actually ask you to do that. It'll help you maybe stay connected throughout the length of this message today. But here's the first question. It is, why did Jesus instruct his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Why did he ask them or instruct them to pray that way? And then, where is the kingdom now? Where is it? And then, what does it mean? How is it coming? How is it supposed to come? What are we looking for when we pray that? So I want you to talk about that and just to kind of think through what we're actually asking when we ask him those things. Today, we want to re-begin some things in our lives. I want you to re-begin some things in your lives. And what I'm thinking about for me is I want to re-begin my surrender to Christ. I want to reevaluate the way I've been living, because the virus has shown me I've been wasting some time on some things. I've not necessarily put God first in some areas of my life. And so I want to re-begin looking to him and serving him, living for him, and bringing him into every aspect of my life. And I hope you do as well. When we talk about the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, it was actually a re-begin of the kingdom of God on earth. It's a re-begin of that. In the beginning, our ancestors rebelled against God. They did not want to follow him or his ways. They did not really want to be a part of his kingdom. They thought they knew better than he did. And so that started a separation between mankind and God. And although God had done various things throughout history to reestablish that relationship to some degree, it was never quite perfect. And then also we see the result of that in humanity. Our governments have been perverted down throughout the years. Some of them have done horrific things to other people. There are tyrannical governments. There are people, just in people. It's not just in governments. There are people who have abused people, hurt people, murdered people. All of these things. There's addiction. There's death. There's disease in the world. And all of that comes from humanity trying to be our own God, rejecting what God's preferred path for us is, what his kingdom says, his rule says, and substituting for his ways our ways. And the result of that has not been very good. And we live in the result of that. But what Christ did when he died and rose again, he made a way for us not just to know him, not just to be saved from hell, but also to be renewed in his kingdom purpose. That is, what he's doing in this world, God's program for even making a creation, that is to bring all things under his rule for his glory. He's made a way for us to do that, and the outcome of his way is good. The outcome of his way is love. The outcome of his way are great relationships. It is a union with God and a union with others that we can only barely imagine now. We know that there's things that are not right in our world, and a lot of us have grown accustomed to the things in our world, but Christ has made a completely different way for us to re-enter or to enter for the first time his kingdom and have it spread here on the earth. And so the book of Acts is really about that and what's going on there. And so the thing that I want you to understand is that when we talk about a rebegin in the kingdom of God, we often think about it's for us. We think about salvation in the terms of it's just for us. It's me. It's my salvation. It's to improve my life. It's to help me. But the truth is, when we talk about this new start, it's not about me. It's not about you. And the main point would be this, is that my salvation is not merely to get me out of hell, but it is to get me into the kingdom of God, to live under his authority, pursuing what he's called me to pursue, and being a part of his cosmic plan for creation in the first place. And so that's a different thought for most of us, because again, many times we want to personalize salvation, and every point about it is just about our personal benefit. But the question is, why did God save us? What was his purpose in doing that? And I want you to think about that and maybe dwell on that. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, I think we don't really emphasize that like we should. And I want to bring some of that out today, is how important the kingdom of God was to Jesus and his mission on earth. It says in Acts chapter 1, I'll begin in verse number 3 and read through 8. It says, after his sufferings, that's Jesus, he presented himself to the apostles, or to them, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set out by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, it says here in this passage that Jesus spent this time, he was with the disciples for 40 days, off and on, but 40 days between his resurrection from the grave and his ascension to heaven where he intercedes for us. 40 days. And this is the only thing it tells us that he talked about during that 40 days was the kingdom of God. Explaining to them, teaching them about the kingdom of God, what that meant. And the reason he did that is because they're in the kingdom of God now. Because they have trusted in him. They've trusted in his resurrection. They have repented of their sins. That they are now in this kingdom of God. And they are implementing the kingdom of God. God is working through them to bring about his kingdom purposes here on earth. And that's what this book of Acts is about. It's about the expansion of the kingdom of God around the world. And that's what he tells us there in verse number 8. But the apostles were missing it a little bit. They asked Jesus, they said, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, they were still worried about a kingdom that was about all about their benefit, about their circumstances, about being freed geopolitically, a kingdom where Jesus actually sat on a physical throne in a location and dominated all the other world governments. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know those things, because he was doing something else. He was not implementing the kingdom of Israel. He was implementing the kingdom of God. He was bringing that restoration of what was lost by our ancestors when they sinned, that he was allowing us to have a reunification with God, to have forgiveness of sins, and to join him. And so even at that point, the disciples were missing it. In a few days, the Holy Spirit would come, and then they would be enlightened. They would know what was going on, and they would be able to expand the kingdom the way Jesus had taught. But when Jesus was on trial, he was about to be crucified. Pilate asked him, he said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Because that was the charge. Jesus has called himself the King of the Jews, and he's trying to subvert Rome and do all of these things. And so in John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." His kingdom is indeed coming. Where is it coming from? What does that look like? We want you to talk about those things. But it's from another place. That is, he is ruling right now, not from earth. He is ruling from the throne room of heaven. He's on the right side of the Father, and he's ruling there. He's interceding for us. He says that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He is the King. He calls himself in Revelation the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so he's the King, and he's ruling from heaven, not on earth. He's not a threat to Pilate, but the way he rules and the way he brings about his kingdom is when his people, when you and I are transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit, living in underneath his authority and following his leadership rather than our own ways, then that starts to transform our lives. That starts to transform the lives of the people around us, in our families, in our workplaces, and in our communities. There is a sense in which the kingdom of God has two parts. There is an already part and a not yet part, at least when it comes to our involvement in it. The already part is what we're talking about today. The not yet part is when Jesus actually will return a second time, and he will indeed become the reigning king in a physical location on this planet, the new heavens and the new earth. He will reign over those. But what we're talking about right now is the kingdom of God that's already here. The kingdom of God that has been inaugurated, it's been started, but it's not quite complete. There's still some things that have to be done. We say that the kingdom has already been inaugurated, started, but it's yet to be consummated. That is, made totally complete. So that's the consummation is the future, and the inauguration is what Christ has started there through his death, burial, resurrection, and the day of Pentecost. We're looking we're looking for Jesus to come and have a physical kingdom here, and we're longing for him. We're looking for that physical kingdom, just kind of like the apostles were looking for him to set up a kingdom of Israel. We're looking for that, but we sometimes fail to realize the already of the kingdom, the alreadiness of the kingdom, and our part, our role in his kingdom here now. And so I want to encourage you, let's think about the already parts of the kingdom. We know that there's a heaven coming. We know there's a new heavens and a new earth coming. We know that one day things will be greatly different, and there will be no more tears, and that he will reign. But right now, there is something for us to do, and that is what Jesus spent the last 40 days on this planet talking to his disciples about. And we see that taking place after Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes. The kingdom of heaven is mentioned over 100 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. I want to talk to you about that in just a moment. What does it look like to be in his kingdom? It's upside down. It is a place where the mourners will be comforted. It's a place where the peacemakers will actually inherit the earth. Not the ones who won the war, but the ones who made peace. It is a place where people are forgiven. It is a place where you do good to your enemies. It's a place where you look out for the interests of others. It's not this dog-eat-dog world that we live in today. That is the good news of the kingdom, is that God's kingdom is completely different than this kingdom. This kingdom is ruled by Satan. This kingdom is on its way out the door. The world's kingdom is passing away, and God's kingdom will reign forever and ever with him. In God's kingdom, the least becomes the greatest. In God's kingdom, the weak are the strong. The guilty are forgiven. The goal of God's kingdom is a sacrificial love, not domination and control. The kingdom of God is the priority of Jesus. And the question for us is the kingdom of God my priority? Is it your priority? Is the kingdom of God your priority? Because many times, my kingdom's my priority. My preferences are my priority. My desired outcomes are my priority. What is yours? In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, John was put into prison, John the Baptist, and Jesus went to Galilee, and it says he was proclaiming the good news of God. He says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." The good news of the kingdom. The good news is that we can be restored to a rightful relationship with God and pursue his plans for creation. That is the submission of all things to him, the only one who is good. Matthew 4:17 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That is, we repent from rebelling against God and his kingdom and his plans, and we submit to, we surrender, we believe that his plans are the best, that his kingdom is the best, and we put ourselves in submission to him. The scripture says that when we do that, we repent and we believe, we surrender our lives to him, that he will save us, he will forgive us of our sins based upon the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, and he will also restore us to relationship with the Father so that then we can pursue his kingdom purposes. And we're not left alone in doing that. He sends his Spirit to help us in that. Paul preached the kingdom of the gospel in Acts chapter 28. It says for two whole years Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who would come to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You see, the goal of salvation is not merely to get me out of hell, but it is get me into the kingdom of God, to get you into the kingdom of God. So the question I want to leave with you, and I want you to kind of be some tension, and that is, what are the implications of this? What are the implications of you being in the kingdom of God? The implications of salvation not being merely to get you out of hell, not merely to save you, but they're actually to get you into the sovereign reign of the Lord, to get you under that, to restore your relationship and your ability to pursue his original purpose and plans for not just your life, but for his plans, for his purposes, for his kingdom. What are the implications for that? Maybe you're a child. What are the implications for you living in God's kingdom if you're a kingdom person? Maybe you're a parent. What are the implications? How is it that God wants you to be a parent? If you're a husband or a wife, a spouse, what are the implications of God being your Lord? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What are those implications? Maybe you're an employee. Maybe you're a senior adult, a college student. What does it mean that you're now in the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world? What's it mean for the way we spend our time? our energies, and our monies. We can tell a lot about ourselves and the way we've spent our time, energy, and money in the last 4 or 5 weeks. A lot about ourselves and the things that we've allowed to consume our time and the things that we have worried about. I want to leave you with this. I hope you discuss this in your groups. But this is what Jesus said. He said it in Luke 9:23-27. It says, "Then he said to them all, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul, his very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him, of them when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God.'" When Jesus rose from the grave and when he sent his Spirit, that inaugurated the kingdom of God. And those of us who claim to be his followers now live in that. What are the implications for you in every aspect of your life? Maybe you're watching today and you don't know Jesus. You don't know this good news and you're still living in a world where you have to achieve and somehow strive to be your best, but you know at the end the things that you achieve will amount to nothing. God wants you to know that you can surrender your life to him and enter his kingdom. And in his kingdom, he'll give you a life of purpose and meaning, because your purpose and meaning will be about accomplishing his objectives for creation, not just your own, but his. And the way you enter his kingdom is by asking him for forgiveness of sins, believing he died on a cross and that he rose again, and submitting your life fully to his lordship. Let's pray. Father God, if there be anyone watching today that needs to trust you as their Savior and enter into your kingdom, I pray, Lord, you would give them the faith to believe right now and to ask you, Lord, that you would grant them forgiveness, Lord, and help them surrender fully their life to you. And Lord, I pray for all of us that are watching and listening, Lord, that we would take truly serious, what does it mean that you're our God and we live in your kingdom? Lord, I'm no longer asking you to make my kingdom better, to make me better in this world, but Lord, to make me more like you, to make us more like you, to make our church, dear Lord, more like your church. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you discuss these things and they're an encouragement to you and a challenge to you. And I look forward to seeing you soon.